ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot.
Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right.
The way this guy is like, what happened to the thought that counts? Is the thought in the room with us? Because I don't think I heard a thought. I don't think that you've told me what the thought is. You saying to ChatGPT, write my girlfriend a love note, is not you having a thought. No, that's actually the absence of a thought that's happening. The thought has not yet occurred. We're still waiting on that. Okay, it hasn't happened. It is about the thought that counts. You actually have to have the thoughts, though. Hey, brother.
Dude, where are you? Pick up your phone. I'm going to a summer party tonight, and you're obviously invited, so call me back.
Okay, love you.
What's up, you guys, and welcome back to Emotionally Online, the weekly summer party for spilling guts and sharing secrets, hosted by yours truly, the one and only big bitch, Maddie Drosbeg. How's it going, everybody? How are we doing? How are we feeling? I'm feeling pretty good right now. I had a great weekend full of friendship and kitties. I went to a cat cafe with my dear friend Meg. You know her, you love her. We went and we pet a bunch of cats at a cat cafe. It was awesome. There was a ginormous cat there named Ciabatta, which generally I am a fan of food names for pets in general. You could really sell me on any food name. My two favorites are food names and space names. I think that animals with food names and space names were just... we're in alignment. We're speaking another language with each other. But Meg and I went, hung out with some cats, got some matcha, sat by the water, engaged in a little bit of hot goss. Come on. Who doesn't like to partake in a little bit of hot goss on a beautiful, brisk fall morning here in New York motherfucking city, baby? We ended up shopping around. I hit a bookstore, which, can I just say, the experience of going into a small local bookseller is full of whimsy and wonder and inspiration, just peeking around every shelf. I walk into a small bookstore and I'm like, God, I love every second of being here. I walk into a Barnes & Noble and I feel like I'm in a doctor's office. A Barnes & Noble is like one of the worst places on earth to me. It is so soulless in there and void of inspiration. I feel like I am, you know, blessed with so many adorable little bookstores here in New York that I don't even remember the last time I was in a Barnes & Noble, but I saw some video because they opened one in Park Slope or something, and there was all these people waiting around for the doors to open on day one. And I'm like, but why? We have so many beautiful small bookstores that are actually like exciting to be inside. And then you have a Barnes & Noble, which really feels like the waiting area of a doctor's office. The whole place is a purgatory. No, other people don't feel that way. That's how I feel. So this weekend I found myself at Books Are Magic. I acquired myself two books. Have not read them yet, so I can't tell you if I believe that they specifically are magic quite yet. But I got the White album by Joan Didion and the new Emily Henry book. I want to call it A Big, Bold, Beautiful Journey, but that is not it. That is the fuck-ass movie that came out with Margot Robbie and What's-His-Face. Whatever. It's something similar to that. I'm trying to look at it because it's on my table. It's called like A Beautiful Life, A Big Beautiful Life. I don't know. It's the latest Emily Henry book, which I've been back and forth on because I loved Emily Henry's earlier books, but her last couple releases I have bought, but just could not get into for the life of me. I probably should have looked up the trope before buying it, because I think what I've landed on is that some tropes just don't do it for me. I can get behind a friends to lovers. I can get behind an enemies to lovers. Second chance romance, I'm really not that into. And I think one of the more recent Emily Henry books, maybe it was Happy Place. I kind of forget which one it was. But one of them is a second chance romance, and I just was not into it. So maybe I should have looked up what the trope for this book was before buying it. But sometimes I just walk into the store and I'm like, ooh, that's what I'm saying. I go to these small bookstores and I'm just happy to be there. I'm like, ooh, what am I going to pick up? I have so many books that I have not read in my home already. But there's something about purchasing a book that I'm like, it's a book. Like, I'm not going to regret this purchase. It is a book. Right? And there's something about that that gives me free rein to buy a new book every time I'm in a bookstore, or better yet, two books. But, you know, I'll read them someday. I'll get to it. Don't you worry about me. I will read all the books in my house eventually. And then, as if my weekend couldn't have gotten any better, I went home, smoked a little bit with my friends Jordan and August, and I introduced them to Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. I made them watch episode one of season one. I breezed through season three. It came out on Thursday, like literally a week ago it came out, and I watched it all by like Saturday morning. It was unbelievable. I just absolutely chow down my way through those Mormon ladies. There's something about them. They are crazy. They are crazy, and I love them, and I cannot wait for Taylor Frankie Paul to be the next Bachelorette. I feel like, I've been saying this on the Patreon, but I'll say it here, I feel like I'm gonna have to do some coverage of Taylor Frankie Paul's Bachelorette season. I've been considering making those sort of like their own thing, their own episodes, so as not to put them at the back of the episode like I was doing with the Love Island stuff. And you know, Love Island's about to come back soon. So if you have thoughts on this, because I know many of you had thoughts when I stopped doing the Love Island coverage, make your voice heard now. Because I'm about to make decisions on this very shortly before the new year. So let me know what you're thinking, what you're feeling, because I think it could maybe be fun to do some coverage, do a couple episodes, just absolutely getting the fuck into it when Taylor Frankie Paul becomes the next Bachelorette. Okay? I'm usually not into the Bachelor universe like that, but Taylor Frankie Paul, she could do it for me. I'll tell you one thing, Taylor Frankie Paul could do that for me. She is number one of my Mormon wives. My ranking, I posted this on TikTok today, so it's top of my mind. And this may be controversial, but I actually don't give a shit because it's right. Number one, Taylor Frankie Paul, always. She carries the goddamn show. She is so violently entertaining. She is the poster child of the Mormon swingers. It's fucking awesome. Like, without Taylor Frankie Paul, there would be no show. She is by default number one constantly because she, out of the whole group, is the best TV. And that's just is what it is. Without Taylor Frankie Paul, there would not be a show. Number two, and this is where the controversy comes in, okay? But number two for me, very clearly, is Whitney. And listen, I know what y'all are gonna say, and I don't give a fuck, because I think that Whitney has been so unfairly hated on throughout pretty much the entirety of The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. At worst, she is a theater kid gone rogue. Like, there is just nothing about that woman that is deeply sinister, inherently evil. I don't buy it. At worst, she is just a theater kid who's a little bit off the rails. She's a little quirky. She's a little out there. But that's fine, okay? You have to admit, the video of her dancing with her child in the hospital, that's fucking funny. But that's theater kid gone rogue behavior. Like, at worst, that's what it is. It's her child. It's not like it was like a stranger's baby. It's weird, right? We all knew that it was weird. But even that is like, that is a backstory blip in season one. Anything that she's done within the Mormon Wives series, and, you know, correct me if I'm forgetting about something here, but as I'm watching season three, I'm like, what did Whitney do again? Like, why do they hate her so much? Like, I just don't remember. I don't feel like she's ever done anything criminal enough to warrant the way that people talk about her. I'm like, okay, they had some friendship beef. They had a little quarrel, a little disagreement. There was some communication mishaps. Will Mom Talk survive this? Leaving Mom Talk, which, second of all, what does that mean when they're like, yeah, she left Mom Talk. So what exactly What does that mean? She left Mom Talk. Because Mom Talk is simply just like a friend group of these Mormon mother TikTokers, except they don't really appear to be actually friends. They don't really treat each other like friends. So then when Whitney is like not that interested in being friends with them, obviously, they're like, she left Mom Talk. How could she? How could she fucking leave Mom Talk? And it's like, well, she's treating it like a business because isn't it? Doesn't seem like you guys are actually friends, right? No. Can we say that? But then everyone's up in arms. She left Mom Talk. We have to go back to our roots. We have to go back to what Mom Talk was founded on. Friendship and sisterhood and being girls, girls. And it's like, was it? Like what? Well, I haven't seen that yet from Mom Talk. But, you know, I love how ambitious y'all are. I do. I love it. I love what you're bringing to me. I just don't know that Whitney has committed a major crime in my eyes. She's annoying at worst. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't think that she's committed a big enough crime for people to hate her like this. And also, she is one of the more entertaining girls on the show. She is. So for that, she's number two on my ranking. I just don't think that she deserves to be as far low down in people's lists. I really just think at this point, if you ask people, like, why do you hate Whitney? I think a lot of people would be like, I don't really know. I think we're just supposed to. You know what I mean? Unless I'm forgetting something major that happened, but I don't think I am. I don't think I am. And I thought it was so interesting on this most recent season, they hated her because she left Mom Talk, aka stopped hanging out with them because they were all mean to her. And then she came back to film for the show when she heard that there was an opportunity for her to be on Dancing with the Stars. And everyone's like, oh, she's such an opportunist, blah, 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 whatever. Abandoning Mom Talk until there's some like career advantage to it. And it's like, well, yeah. Sorry. Well, yes. Think about it if it were you. You are doing something for work and your coworkers are like, this is a sisterhood. We're all besties and it all is the best, except we're all going to be bitches to each other all the time. And you're like, you know what? I don't know if I want to be a part of this sisterhood. I'm just going to keep to myself over here and do my work over here adjacent to you guys, since you guys are a bunch of fucking haters and I just am kind of over it. And then it's like, okay, all of the OG Mom Talk girls, there's an opportunity for you to be on Dancing with the Stars. It's like, well, yeah, of course I'm going to go and audition. I don't care what these bitches think about me or if I'm in or out of Mom Talk. I don't give a fuck. I don't need your permission. I'm going to go audition for Dancing with the Stars because we're being given the opportunity to as cast members of this fucking TV show. No, like, of course. And then people want to be mad at her for like being ambitious or career oriented. It's dumb. It's stupid. Anyways, I'm over the Whitney slander. I like the girl. I think she's funny. And I think that she adds a lot to the show. Taylor and Whitney are really the two that I feel passionately about. The rest, I start to get less and less passionate about because, to be honest with you, many of them are just not that entertaining. So number three, I'll put Jessie because she's very entertaining. Number four, I'll put Michaela because I just find her likable. Below Michaela, I'd probably put Jen, because I think the Affleck shit is so fucking funny and she's kind of cute. She's a little cutie. And then I feel like Layla and Macy are pretty tied for me. I'll put Layla above Macy for now, but they're lower down on my list because I think that they are like true fence sitters and that is off-putting to me. I really don't like a Switzerland type bitch. I am off-put by people who try to play both sides. A friend to everyone is a friend to none. I hate to say it, but I think sometimes it's true. And Layla and Macy play the middle so often that I'm just, it's not it for me. And then bottom is going to be Demi, just, you know, because of how things have transpired. I really don't know who to believe, right? And then the men are always on the bottom, but that's kind of true of life, no? Nobody tell last week's episode haters that I said that. Holy fuck. Okay, let's talk about that for a second. So last week, we did our little episode talking about the is having a boyfriend embarrassing article, which as expected, many people did not listen to the episode. And many people also just like hear the title and they have a reaction to it. And that's neither here nor there. Listen, some people just aren't into consuming media and dissecting it and actually having real internal thoughts before just in a comment section. I can't help that. Okay, that's their choice. But I posted a clip of the show over on Instagram, and it went pretty much how you're going to expect that it went. But I some of these comments, honestly, I've been so entertained for the last like 72 hours looking at these because it's kind of unbelievable. The clip that I posted on Instagram, this is what I said in the clip. I said, some of your boyfriends are embarrassing in a straight up derogatory way. They're non-voters. They don't know how to run a dishwasher. They use ChatGPT for everything, including helping them write you love notes, which isn't a love note, by the way. In fact, it's more like a curse, and many of you need to be calling Etsy witches for the hexes your boyfriends are putting on you when they write you love notes using ChatGPT. First of all, bars. Second of all, when I post things like this, I know that if Instagram decides to show this to the wrong crowd, all of a sudden I'm gonna have like 100 ChatGPT bros in my comment section losing their fucking minds. Now, because Instagram loves me so much, because everybody at Instagram loves Maddie, they put this on the feeds of the wrong goddamn audience. Okay, so the comments that have been pushed to my notifications over the last 72 hours have been truly something to behold. Let me read you my favorite one. This person writes, so if the man can't properly express himself and doesn't write anything, it's bad. But if he uses ChatGPT to write a note, it's also bad. What happened to it's the thought that counts? When I saw this, I had to put myself in timeout to try to restrain myself from responding to this. I wanted more than anything to screenshot this comment, put it on my Instagram story, and start bullying. Okay, I'm not above it. Sometimes I love bullying weird men. It is a passion of mine, you know, a hobby. I have many of them. Come on, a woman's gotta fill her time with something. I wanted so badly when I read this comment to get on my Instagram story and be like, so widowy? What if a man was a widowit and he widowy didn't even know how to read or write? And women are saying they need love notes, so you have to write a love note, but he widowy doesn't even know how to do that. He does not know how. So he goes to ChatGPT and he says, please write my girlfriend a love note because she really wants one and I don't know how to do that. So ChatGPT writes a love note and that's not good enough evil? Oh, women are so confusing. Men can't do anything right. Like, that is what they sound like to me. That is what I hear inside my brain when he's like, oh, some men literally don't know how to write a love note, so they have to use ChatGPT. Oh, do they? Grown men have to use ChatGPT because they don't know how to write words? I've had enough. I've had enough of you people. I don't understand in what universe we live in that somebody would think, I don't care. You could be the polar opposite of Shakespeare, okay? You could be the least literate person ever. And your attempt at writing a genuine love note, as shitty as it may be, is still better than using ChatGPT to write one. I don't know how many different ways women would have to tell you this in order for you to hear it, but famously, women, not to speak for all of us, but famously, women aren't looking to be with someone who is, you know, a poet, the best fucking Grammy nominated musician, someone that could really cook them up something one of one. They're looking for someone to have a thought, right? The way this guy is like, what happened to the thought that counts? Is the thought in the room with us? Because I don't think I heard a thought. I don't think that you've told me what the thought is. You saying to ChatGPT, write my girlfriend a love note, is not you having a thought. No, that's actually the absence of a thought that's happening. The thought has not yet occurred. We're still waiting on that, okay? It hasn't happened. It is about the thought that counts. You actually have to have the thoughts, though. Hey, brother, we got to cook those up ourselves, okay? You were supposed to write down your own thoughts and give them to your girlfriend. Are we stupid? Are we all stupid? The answer is yes. The answer is yes, we are. That is crazy. That is literally crazy. But beyond, so you have the ChatGPT bros crashing out in my comments because they're like, oh, so what am I supposed to do? Actually use my own words? What if I don't know any? And it's like, well, that's a problem. That's a problem. And maybe we shouldn't use ChatGPT for that. Maybe this is a larger issue. If you can't write down a couple sentences about what you like about your girlfriend on your own. No, we should look into that. Those were like the first section of people, the ChatGPT bros. And then you had other people that I think were triggered by the mention of Etsy witches and were just going to say super misogynistic shit because I mentioned Etsy witches. And these are the same guys that crash out about astrology or like anything spiritual, tarot that women like. They're like, oh, that's really so fake and stupid and dumb. Girl stuff, boo, and they get so mean about it for no reason. We had those people in the comments, and then we had a third group. Now, these are my ride or dies, okay? They're always here. They are always out here every time I have a piece of content go viral, and these guys really deserve a round of applause for how little they have done to advance or elevate their game in the 15 years that I've been on the internet. And these guys are the fat phobes. Yeah, let's fucking hear it for the fat phobes. The guys who commented on this clip being like, oh yeah, you know, she's making a couple good points, but who cares when she looks like that or calling me fat or whatever the hell else. A lot of them still were the ChatGPT bros that also happened to overlap into the fat phobes. Some of them hit all three. You know, some of them were card carrying members of all groups, which is really quite fascinating. But there's something about the fat phobes and the men who a clip happens upon their screen from a woman they don't know. And they're like, this really pisses me off. This woman talking crap about ChatGPT, my one true love. Oh my God, how can I really stick it to her? How can I really make this girl hurt her? But their ability to reach for the stars in terms of coming up with an insult is so low. It's really like kindergarten level where they're just pointing out things they can see. It's like, what color is this? Good, good, you got it. All right, next up, what does this word say? Nice, good job, you're doing so good. Now, what size is this woman? Good job! Like, it's like, I don't know how to tell you that calling me a very obviously fat woman fat is just not hitting the way it used to in the year 2009. I don't know how to tell you this, especially as a fat woman who calls herself fat. That word means nothing to me, baby. You're gonna have to come up with something else if you really want to stick it to me. Truly. I know this is gonna be really hard for you, but I believe in you. Come on, you guys, you can do it. That all you have? That's all you had in the chamber after all this time. It was also making me laugh because the song that I put on this post was Stress by Justice. So I'm just imagining these guys crashing out in their fucking basements and I'm listening to myself in the background just cackling maniacally knowing that I pretty purposefully triggered the fuck out of all of these losers. So just listen to this and imagine me in the background like, you fucking loser. You bought the shit, okay? I got you. You're mine now, motherfucker. It's too fucking good. It's too good. You guys are too easy to piss off. It's insane. Which actually, now that we're here, this brings me to my I've always said that of the week, which is that the second that you call me fat in an attempt to try and hurt me, I have already won whatever beef you think the two of us are having, baby. Like, picture this, right? They're scrolling on Instagram. They happen upon my post where I'm like, boo, ChatGPT is for losers. We all find you deeply off-putting, just so you know. And honestly, this shit is so funny because what I said is actually so mild. But the thing is that these guys are so easily riled up that you really don't have to say much. Another one that I screenshotted that I thought was awesome was some guy that said, imagine not being able to walk 50 yards without being winded, but calling other people embarrassing. And it's like, you're one step away from being like, God, she's fat. How dare she have standards? How dare she demand that people behave and act a certain way? And you know what? Actually, while we're here, how dare this woman have opinions? How dare she have thoughts of her own on the world and how people operate? And it's like, listen, babe, if you want to write your love notes on ChatGPT, if you want to write your wedding vows on ChatGPT straight from the heart of the data center, then by all means, go out and do it. Every girl's dream, oh my God, they're all swooning. I'm sure every bitch wants you. I'm trying to help you, really, when it comes down to it. And this is my advice to all of you guys. If anyone ever calls you fat in an argument, that is your indication that they are like really fired up and really trying to cut deep. That, because that to them is what they think is going to hurt you the most. So they're so mad, they're trying to cut you. The best thing that you can do in these moments is just laugh at them, because that is going to trigger the fuck out of them. Just laugh in their faces. That's it. That's all you have to do. You'll win every fucking argument for the rest of time forever if you just laugh in their faces the second that they call you fat or do something corny like that. I'm telling you, I've done it before, IRL, and I witnessed, you know, a catastrophic level crash out from the person who said it to me. Keep having your opinions. Let them call you fat because they're mad that you have opinions, and then just laugh at them, and they're going to have to go to therapy for the feelings you've made them felt as a result. So you know what? You can't win them all, but you can win a lot of them, you guys.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
All right, let's jump into these audience submissions. As always, we have an audience submission box for the show. I go through it every week, pick out some of my favorites to respond to. Tell us about your juicy friend group drama, your dating escapades, whatever social media, celebrity drama, worldly issue topic you'd like us to bring up on the show. You submit it to the box and maybe we will discuss it. First up, we have a submission about AI-generated art. So I think that that would be an awesome place for us to start. Here's a brief rundown of the saga. My town, Bozeman, has an annual downtown Christmas stroll event hosted by the City Commission. Each year, the commission puts on a competition with a small cash prize open to the public to design a poster for the event. This year's competition was won by a man who claimed that he digitally illustrated his poster, but the good people of Reddit and Instagram were not fooled and immediately called out the design as AI made. The artist then proceeded to double down on his claim that he created the design himself, start fights on a burner account with people in the comment section below the post announcing his win, before ultimately privating his artist Instagram account and going dark. To make matters even more dramatic, the public then realized that this man also won the design competition for a local summer festival using another AI-generated design. Wild. Anyway, I'd love to hear your thoughts on how we as creatives should go about calling people out for things like this. I feel kind of bad coming at this man for what he did. He's clearly just trying to grow his freelancing business and get some exposure, but yikes. Crazy how little integrity and artistic spirit goes into scams like this. I get wanting to make some money, but it's a shame when AI art takes jobs from talented creatives simply because it's faster and a board of trustees unversed in how to tell when something is AI generated gets fooled by it. What do you think? Should we call out the individual, demand greater AI vetting from our boomer-ass city commission board members? Are the people of Bozeman just not submitting good work to these competitions and therefore AI is winning by sheer lack of competition? It's feeling bleak out here and I want to know your thoughts. Yeah, stuff like this I find so inexcusable because like for all of the empathy we could drum up by being like, oh, I get he's just trying to grow his freelance business and get some exposure. I feel bad that people are piling in on him. It's like for all the empathy we could drum up in that regard, there's also somebody else who submitted to this very same competition who's trying to do the same thing, who's trying to grow their freelance business, get some artistic exposure, who now doesn't get that opportunity because this guy submitted his dumbass AI-generated design. It's like, I really don't care about giving people exposure and business growth when it's undeserved or when they're trying to cut corners in order to do that. Particularly if your business is creative focused, it feels like really sinister to be someone who is a self-proclaimed artist or designer of any kind and to be using AI for your art. Like, this is something that is supposed to be so important to you that you're willing to call yourself an artist, a designer, to have this be a, you know, a label, an identifier of yours that you hold dear, but you're willing to give up your own agency to a robot. Like, I don't really understand it and I never will. Now, I do think that there's a way to have a community conversation about this that is firm, but not like evil. Now, obviously I understand why someone could be like really fired up and angry about this. Totally understand. Maybe those people aren't the people that should lead this conversation. Like, I don't know if I could really lead a call-in type of conversation like this. I think I might get too emotional about it, to be honest with you. But I think there are people out there that could, in this moment, step up to have like a real, honest community call-in conversation where instead of looking at this person and being like, fuck you, and sending death threats, or, you know, people do insane things, but even not going to that extreme, but even just like yelling at them, which I would probably do, to be honest with you. But I'm not the one that needs to lead this. Like, I think that it's an issue that I get too passionate about. I don't know if I could lead that conversation, but somebody could. And make it more of like a learning moment, a teaching moment, more than anything else. I do think, like, the AI stuff really is so hard for me because I am very passionate about it and I get very mad about it. And I think sometimes it's hard for me to like sit down and actually want to help someone see my perspective or learn how insidious it is, to try to explain to someone why the use of generative AI is so bad without making them feel bad. I think I'm just like far past the point of where I could do that, or I haven't reached it yet. I think I'm too angry right now, which is fine because there's a lot to be angry about, to be fair. To me, the like use of AI in a creative context is the thing that makes me the most mad. There's levels to it. Obviously, at this point, I am like anti-AI across the board, mostly because I believe it's a slippery slope, especially when we have no regulation on it. The climate impact stresses me out deeply. Now, with that being said, I think there's levels to a lot of these things, even though I'm, you know, on the anti side of all of them. How mad I am at someone using AI in a creative context is pretty different than how mad or not mad I would be at someone working a job that they fucking hate and they use AI to make their workday a little less miserable for them. You know, there's one of those people that I'm going to be really mad at, and the other person, I'm not going to fully agree with their usage of it, but I'm not going to like rage out at this, you know, random person who is using AI to make their miserable workday a little less miserable. There's levels to it. I think using AI for creative reasons and emotional reasons, creative meaning creating AI art with it, or emotional meaning for therapy purposes, for friendship purposes, to write love notes to your fucking girlfriend, to even like ask AI for ideas for gifts or notes or to not create the art for you, but to give you an idea for it, to give you an outline for an essay or a prompt for a poem. I don't like those applications of it either. I think it's obviously, I don't like any of it, but that to me is still, that's creative and emotional. I don't think that AI should be used in creative or emotional contexts ever. Now, again, I'm anti-AI across the board right now, but I'm going to be the most mad about AI in creative and emotional contexts because of what a like moral failing I feel that that is as well. Versus someone who hates their fucking job and is using AI to get through the day. I don't love that, but I don't have as passionate of an opinion on that because ultimately it's not like the most evil thing you can use AI for. You know what I mean? But like, to me, the creative and emotional stuff, that is evil. That is actually evil to me. That's like void of human emotion and like stripping back a very critical part of the human experience. That to me makes me want to panic and, you know, bash my head against the wall. And to be honest with you, it doesn't sound like this guy made his situation any better by, after he was called out for submitting this AI generated design, he doubled down on his lie and said that he made it himself. Like, well, you were caught. We caught you. There, you had to put your hands up and say, you know what, I did do that. But here's the thing though. I would respect these people more if they could at least stand 10 toes down and like have a debate on why they think that it's okay to do that. But when being called out for using AI to make the design, he lied. He doubled down and lied and said he created the design himself, which to me says that he knows that it was bad. He doesn't believe that using AI to create this design was good or was justified, because the second he was called out for it, he lied. Right? I would almost have more respect for these people if they would just be like, 10 toes down, using AI to generate art is okay. And here is my argumentative essay for why. But that doesn't exist. People are like, yeah, no, I kind of know that it's shitty, but whatever, I'm going to do it anyways. And I'm going to lie about it because I can get away with it. And it scares me that a lot of people do get away with it. I think it's getting harder and harder to catch. I mean, I think about the amount of AI that I see on my feed on a daily basis. And then I think about probably all of the AI that I have seen on my feed that I just didn't clock. And that stresses me out. It does. It constantly stresses me out. But I do think that it's possible to have a like kind and productive, but also firm and direct conversation about this as a community. I think it would take a very special person to lead that conversation. They'd have to be a very gifted facilitator and leader. I don't think I could do it. I think that I am too angry about things like this. But someone out there has the skill set for it. Somebody out there could lead a community conversation about stuff like this. But I think in order for it to be productive, it also requires like a hefty amount of radical honesty from both sides, particularly from the people who are choosing to use AI in artistic ways. Like, I would love to believe that it's not like some person out there that just doesn't care about artistic integrity at all. And I would love to know the reason. I think that's where I get tripped up, because I'm like, I would love to hear someone's actual argument for why they think that's okay. But I just haven't heard anyone say that. Obviously, I know I'm going to disagree, but I think that I could have a more empathetic reaction to these things if I heard someone explain why they do this or why they think it's okay. But at this point, I feel like the only things I've seen from the other side are people lying about it, people being like, you know, who gives a fuck, and being kind of evil about actual artists and like what creating AI art to then submit to a competition against actual artists. Like, I think you have to be a little bit unconcerned about how that impacts actual artists and like the culture of art production at large. I think it's like inherently a little evil to submit AI art to a competition where you know that there are other like assumably struggling artists submitting to the competition to try to make some money or grow their business, get some exposure. To me, you have to be a little bit evil to submit AI art to that competition. I do, but I would love if someone could convince me that it wasn't evil and that it was just like a difference of opinion or that there could be some explanation or backstory that I would have more of an empathetic reaction to. But to be honest with you, when I hear stories like this, I get mad because I think that you have to be so inconsiderate to do that. And I think that it's so obviously bad and just like grading away on the universe of what it means to be a creative person in the year 2025. And it makes me sick. It just makes me sick. So again, I think that there could be a productive community conversation about stuff like this, but it requires radical honesty that I don't know if people are willing to engage with at this current moment. From both sides, right? Like, I don't even know if I want to hear it right now. I would be too mad to lead it. Maybe I could sit down and observe, but I think I might just end up more mad. But I do think that surely there are people that can be more level-headed and neutral about this subject that could lead a productive community conversation about it, assuming that people are willing to be radically honest with each other and receive that feedback, which a lot of times people aren't. That's the hard part. It's like we can have a community conversation, but is it going to be productive? That depends if people really want to show up to it with radical honesty and receptivity on both sides. But that's what I'm saying. I don't know that I could. I don't know that I could. And but ultimately, that's not the part that matters. You can like lead a horse to water, but you can't get it to drink. You can have the community conversation. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to go well or that it's going to change anything. I think it's reasonable that people are mad. I would also be mad. I do think that people should continue to call it out because I think that's important. And I really don't think that it's a matter of like the people of Bozeman are just not submitting good work and therefore AI is winning by sheer lack of competition. I don't know if I see it like that because as the judges are looking at the pieces of artwork, they are assuming that each of them is human made and the AI is ripping other art that has existed before it. Like it's not like the robot is coming up with this piece of art organically. It's like, imagine if you could take a potion, if you could take a magic pill that provided you with all of the knowledge and skill set that you needed to, you know, be as talented as all the artistic greats that came before you. You took a magic pill, a magic potion, and you could just do it. Or, you know, it's kind of the same thing as like when you put a piece of paper up to the window and you trace over it on another piece of paper when you were like 8 years old and you discover that and you're printing out photos of Demi Lovato on the fucking family printer to put against the window so you can draw Demi Lovato and you feel like a real goddamn artist because you're tracing and it looks good, right? That's what I feel like AI is doing, where it's like, okay, it looks decent, but you just traced it against the window. Like, it's just not impressive. But it's not necessarily the final output that makes a piece of art so meaningful. It's the process of it. And if the judges are looking at this piece of art, assuming that the process is there, I understand why people can be duped by AI. I don't necessarily think that it means the AI piece of art was inherently better than all the real art that was submitted. I just think that when people are perceiving it, if they're thinking that this came from an actual person and the AI is literally trained to try to make something based off of all the other art that it has been programmed to consume, like I just... It's not surprising to me that an AI piece of art could win a design competition. And I don't think it says anything about the other artists that submitted. I think, if anything, it just speaks to the vetting process and how we're able to call out and notice that something is AI generated, which is scary. I don't like it. It is definitely feeling bleak out there, though, but I do think that it's important to call people out for doing shit like this because there's just no fucking way that we can go on with people thinking that this is normal behavior and that it's totally fine and cool. I find it deeply off-putting and weird, and I'm totally cool with letting people know that we feel that way. Hey Maddie, how do you deal with growing emotional pains? I have just found out that my ex is having a baby. We broke up a little over a year ago, and within a few weeks, he started dating someone else who was a mutual friend of ours. I finally felt like I had made some progress in moving on. Our relationship was never that great, but he's the first person I was truly in love with. Now, I have just heard through a common friend that he and his girlfriend are having a baby, and this is stirring up all sorts of feelings, and I'm having to fully let go of the future I had envisioned for us. Usually, when I'm in emotional turmoil, I can turn to my best friends who are much more experienced in love than myself. But this is new, uncharted territory for all of us. I feel such a murky combination of the fear of growing old, of diving headfirst into adulthood with heartbreak. I feel like I have no one around to turn to, and part of me is ashamed to admit the difficult feelings this is bringing up for me. Usually in these times of heartbreak, I turn to friends, songs, movies that relate to my particular experience, but this is new and uncharted territory and it feels so isolating. I know I'm not the first to have this experience, but I feel so lost in the novelty. What would you, as Lover Girl President, prescribe a lost soul? Love you and the pod. Well, first of all, can I just say, like, it is so reasonable to have an emotional reaction to that. You only broke up a year ago. Like, that is not a long time. And to be honest with you, like, it would be okay to have an emotional response to hearing that they moved on so quickly just weeks after you broke up. And then to learn that they are having a baby, starting a whole family within the course of one calendar year. Like, that is a lot. That is a lot. It would be a lot for anyone, even like well beyond. But you're still in like the immediate aftermath. 1 year out from a breakup is nothing. I have still been upset at the 1 year mark from everyone that I've ever actually cared about that I, you know, separated from. To in the same time as you're grieving the end of that relationship and moving on and really processing and closing that chapter, while you're in the midst of that, to also have to process watching them move on to the degree of having a baby with someone else, like, it is more than reasonable to have an emotional response to that. I think that most of us would. And here's the thing. You don't need to change the kind of emotional response that you're having to this. You don't need to be less upset about it. You don't have to feel less weird about it. You don't have to know all the answers or have like a piece of wisdom or advice from your friends to cling to in this time. Like, you're right. This is uncharted territory. I'm sure many people have gone through this thing. And you know what? I'm sure there's someone in the comments of this episode that has gone through what you're going through right now. I'm sure of it. I'm sure that somebody down there will end up with a very similar story of having to watch an ex move on while you're in the midst of processing that breakup in the first place and how painful that is. You are absolutely undoubtedly not alone, but I understand how isolating it can be to have nobody in your direct community that can relate to what it is that you're going through. I feel like breakups and relationship endings, they hit you in phases. And it's like, yeah, it ends in one way when you stop seeing each other, when you go no contact, when you call it off. That's like breakup number one. But there are other moments in the aftermath of that and where you do get pushed closer and closer to having to just fully accept that the future that you envisioned is not going to happen. It's almost like the breakup happens multiple times. And you feel that ending multiple times over. And this is just another one of those times. So although the context of it is different, it still is just like kind of reliving your breakup and experiencing it again in a fresh way because of this new information, having to grieve the ending freshly another time. So yes, the context is different, but assuming your friends have gone through breakups before, they've probably experienced these like pillar moments that make you relive the breakup all over again as well. Even though this is kind of an extreme case of that, which fucking sucks, by the way. But really, I just believe that with things like this, you don't have to feel differently about it. You don't have to feel less sad or heartbroken or weird or bothered. You know, you don't have to toughen up or to, you know, cosplay as being more moved on than you actually are. It's okay that this has stirred up old feelings for you and that this has brought on this wave of like, oh my God, we're like full, whole adults. And there's this like huge chapter of my life that now is being closed in a more permanent way because he's having a whole child with a different person. That's okay that you're having an emotional reaction to that. I don't think that needs to change. I think that you just have to feel it to move through it. Sometimes you just gotta put on Silver Springs by Fleetwood Mac, scream it at the top of your fucking lungs and call it a day. Sometimes that's literally all you can do you know, this might be one of those times where there's not really a cure for this. You just have to feel it and move through it. And maybe Silver Springs by Fleetwood Mac could be a good remedy here, you know, could make it a little bit of a lighter load. Worth a shot is all I'm saying. That's what I would do if I were you. I'd be in the back of every Uber with my head tilted out the window like a fucking hot dog. Just panting, tongue flapping in the wind, listening to Silver Springs by Fleetwood Mac. Time cast a spell on you, but you won't forget me. Yeah, come on. Can't get away from the sound of a woman who loves you. Let's go, people. With that, I'm going to throw it on over to the post show. I'm spilling secrets on today's episode. I'm spilling a big secret that I got given this morning that I just cannot fucking wait. I'm chomping at the bit to tell people. So I'm going to talk about it on the post show. I don't know if I should, but I'm going to. So if you want to know my secret, go on over to the post show and join us over on the Patreon. Then if not, I will see you guys in next week's episode. I love ya. Goodbye.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.